The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. I hope you had the opportunity to partake in some Mimuna festivities as well. This is very traditional, the day after Pesach. The Moroccan community in particular, they like to go out and make the mufletot. I personally would prefer just to allow things to sort of relax after Pesach and not have to partake of another feast, traditional event. Food. I think it sort of feels like almost enough. But within the Moroccan community, of course, it's very traditional. And it's not only about the food. It's also about the social interaction. And of course, this year, we were very happy that we were able to interact with people. And of course, masks were removed, especially for Mimuna. As soon as Mimuna came in, 8 o'clock on Saturday night, masks were formally removed from all indoor places, except for hospitals, except for old age homes, and except for airlines, I'm told. And potentially some other government institution masks are off. So, yeah, we're over Mimuna, we're over Pesach. I hope yours was good. And we are now on to the next thing already, because, of course, later this week we will mark Yom HaShoah. Next week will be Yom HaTzmaut. So we're into this period of time when we have a lot of things to think about and, of course, a lot of celebration too.
Anthony, one of the things I was mentioning earlier is yesterday here in Jerusalem, there was this incredible sandstorm that seemed to have come in overnight. In fact, people were joking, well, now that we've removed our masks, you know, the government says remove the masks, God laughs and says put them back on again because you can't breathe. That was absolutely true some parts of yesterday here in Jerusalem. How common are these dust storms?
They do happen from time to time, a so-called sharav, as we like to call it, or some people call it a chamsin, which is really a heat wave rather than a dust storm. But frequently the desert winds blow in. They blow in very, very hot air, which makes it unpleasant, even without the dust. And of course, it brings the dust in. It happens from time to time. How common is it? I mean, the word chamsin actually comes from the Arabic word for 50. Which goes to the point that they claim that it happens 50 days in the year. I'm not sure that that's really true, but certainly it happens from time to time. It's very, very frustrating because, of course, everything gets coated in dust. If you're worried about washing your car and things like that, my car was completely covered in dust yesterday, which is very frustrating. So it'll have to go back because very often, you know, at the end of the winter season, once the rain is over, it's a good time to get your car washed and it's a good time to do it just before Pesach as well. But of course, those people who got their cars washed before Pesach will be very disappointed because yesterday would have ruined all of that. It happens. I don't know if it's quite 50 days a year, but I would say certainly between 10 and 20 days a year, we would feel the dust storms come in, the desert winds blow in. It's part of the scene here. It's just part of the lie of the land in terms of living here and being on the edge of the desert. We have to expect that it'll happen from time to time.
The IDF responded to rocket fire from Lebanon last night. Is this linked to the recent unrest in Jerusalem, or is this completely independent?
So the IDF and the Israeli government are saying that they're treating it as a link to the recent unrest on the Temple Mount. And so their response has been quite localized. They claim that the rocket fire came from Palestinian groups in Lebanon. And for the moment, at least, there's been no link drawn to the rocket that landed yesterday near to Shlomi with Hezbollah. This has really not been linked to Hezbollah, at least formally at the moment. All of that could change. But for now, at least, the rocket that was fired across the border from southern Lebanon into Israel and near to Shlomi is linked to Palestinian groups. And the IDF response was quite linked to that as well. In other words, in the past, when we've seen rocket fire coming from across the border, it's been most likely that the Israeli Air Force would be in action immediately responding to those events. That was not the case last night. And in fact, the IDF response came in the form of artillery fire that was fired back from the Israeli side of the border towards where that rocket was fired in Lebanon. The report that I've read says that dozens of rockets artillery rockets were fired from Israel back in towards southern Lebanon. There are no reports of any damage having been caused or any casualties having been sustained as a result of that. So it seems as if though the response is very, very local indeed, rather than being more widespread. I suspect that if those rockets had persisted from southern Lebanon, that the Air Force may well have been called out. But I think that there's a very, very strong message in the response being artillery fire rather than Air Force pinpoint action from Air Force planes, which is usually the case and what we usually see under these circumstances.
So, and the current status in terms of the security situation?
Well, you can feel the situation in Jerusalem, Howard, but certainly over the weekend there was more unrest on the Temple Mount, IDF troops being called in again and border police being called again, both on Friday and Saturday, to respond to events on the Temple Mount. The report that I saw said that the Israeli police were required to once again go into the Temple Mount Mosque in order to clear out weapons, in order to clear out stones, and in order to clear out other items that have been stored there that could be used to cause injury, to cause damage, not only to Jews who might be around the area in the Temple Mount, the Kotel area, but indeed apparently there were 95,000 Muslims who went onto the Temple Mount on Saturday to pray. So the Israeli government has said that they were forced to go in again to the Temple Mount, and of course to clear that out and to try to make it as safe as possible for Muslim worshippers as well as for any Jews who might be around the area. Yair Lapid is quoted as saying that we have status quo on the Temple Mount, which means that there's been no change to the idea that Jews will not be allowed onto the Temple Mount at the moment. And he even went as far as saying that he is very uncomfortable about the Israeli government decision to not allow Jews onto the Temple Mount at this time, but that there will be no change to that decision, at least for now, for the near term, and that the Temple Mount will remain out of bounds to Jewish worshippers. There was a meeting in Cairo, took place yesterday, involving the president of Egypt, involving the King of Jordan, and also including the president of the United Arab Emirates. They also discussed events on the Temple Mount. The good news, at least over the last few days, is that there hasn't been any further criticism from the international community as to what's been happening on the Temple Mount, as to how Israel's been responding to events on the Temple Mount. There was some concern that the international criticism that we experienced last week may well ramp up and may well cause further discomfort. And there was even some talk that events on the Temple Mount may well result in another Gaza operation, because there was an attempt to fire rockets from Gaza over the weekend. They were unsuccessful. Those rockets didn't cross out of Gaza into Israel. They landed within Gaza, near to the Gaza border, so no injuries and damage was caused on the Israeli front. And fortunately, it also meant that the IDF wasn't forced to respond to those rockets that were fired from Gaza. So that kind of we managed somehow to control things without further response from the IDF. The situation remains tense. We haven't yet overcome
Well, it's interesting. Definitely haven't. And I was thinking that it's probably in all of my trips to the area, and especially to Jerusalem, it's probably the trip that I visited the Western Wall the least out of any time that I have been here, because people have just kept advising rather don't go at the moment. It's just too tense to walk through the old city.
So again, the question is that considered to be cowardice and giving up on your rights, or is that considered to be sensible and just avoiding any problem? And, it depends on which side of this particular discussion you come from, because a lot of people would turn around and say, if you're in Jerusalem, Howard, you should exercise your freedom and your right as a Jew to visit the Kotel. And then other people would say, you're in Jerusalem, you've done the so-called Aliyah Regal. You've been to Jerusalem. You've been up during
I've certainly been to the Passover, but not that I haven't been at least twice this trip. But normally we would walk down over Shabbat. We would walk down on the Chagim, and in fact, we just haven't this time because of some nervousness.
Right. And I think that that's sensible. I think that that's a good compromise, which means you've been to Jerusalem, you've been there, you've enjoyed what Jerusalem has to offer, you've had the opportunity to go to the Kotel, and you've done all of that, but not quite in the same way as you might have done before. I don't think that that's you compromising on your rights. I think that you being sensible, you being just wary of the situation. There's no need for anybody to want to cause any damage or injury to anybody while, going about your daily activities. So I don't see that as being someone who's given up on their rights, as Itamar Ben-Gvir had said, you know, we need to insist that we can exercise our rights at every moment in time, no matter what's happening around us. And it doesn't really matter that this might risk life and limb. No, that doesn't matter. We've got to exercise our rights. And I have a slightly more conservative view about those things.
I'd love to hear from our listeners. 345-19-0618-951019. Do you think it's cowardice that we've avoided going to the Kotel, to the Western Wall, as often as we normally would, given the situation here? Do you think that I should have, and we should have, deliberately gone, made a point that we are able to do so, or was it sensible to curtail that type of action? I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love your thoughts on that. President Biden has accepted an invitation to visit Israel in the next few months. How significant is this visit?
I think it is significant, first of all, that both the White House and the Prime Minister's office yesterday made the announcement that the President had spoken with the Prime Minister, and they discussed a number of important things which are of common interest, including Iran and, of course, Russia and a number of other areas which affect both Israel and the United States, and that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett had invited President Biden to visit Israel. And the White House confirmed that President Biden has the intention of visiting Israel in the coming months. No date has been set as yet. I guess that they're still trying to look at the agendas of the various parties to see when would be the best time to do so. But the fact that the White House has confirmed that President Biden will make the visit, I think, is significant. Why is it significant? I mean, in previous presidential terms, we've always measured how long it takes for the President of the United States to finally make the visit to Israel. And in fact, in the case of, for example, Barack Obama, it took until his second term in office for him to finally make the visit to Israel. President Trump was a little bit sooner than that in terms of visiting Israel. President Biden has not visited Israel yet during this presidential term, although he is somebody who has visited Israel a number of times before, numerous times before, both as the vice president and in terms of the during his term as a senator in the U.S. Senate. So he's no stranger to Israel, and he certainly visited here on a number of previous occasions. I think that this visit is significant, and the reason I think it's significant is because in the region, there are quite a number of countries that have a slightly strained relationship with the United States. I can think of the United Arab Emirates. I can think of Turkey. I can think even of the Palestinian Authority, where the relationship with the United States is a little strained. Many of them see their way to the U.S. president through Israel, through Israel's good relations with the President of the United States and with the administration in general. And the fact that the President will be visiting Israel, I think, just serves to reinforce that good relationship that exists between Israel and the United States. And of course, it's also very, very good for Israel in terms of reinforcing the support that we need, that we get, that we enjoy from the United States, from the current President and from the administration. So I think that this is going to be very significant. It's going to be very interesting to see where else President Biden chooses to visit, whether he will choose to visit, for example, have meetings with the Palestinian Authority or not while he's here. All of that remains yet to be set up and seen, but I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens around President Biden's visit to Israel at that time.
Right, absolutely, and it will be fascinating to see. And finally, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett called President Macron yesterday to congratulate him on his victory that was in the election in France. What does President Macron's victory change, if anything, for Israel?
Well, I think it's been significant that during Macron's first term in office, we've seen massive aliyah from France to Israel, many, many French Jews deciding that France is not the place for them any longer and deciding to come to make Israel their home. It's been very, very noticeable in recent years and has continued during the first presidential term of President Macron. And there was some nervousness about whether Marine Le Pen might well get across the line and might well be victorious. I think it's the closest that she's really ever come to the Elysee Palace to assuming the presidency of France. And I think there was a lot more nervousness surrounding the French Jewish community about the prospect of her taking over than about Macron continuing. So I think it's going to be much more of the same. I don't think we're going to see many differences over what we've seen in terms of Macron's first presidential term. I think it's going to be much more of the same. But I think the real question that many Jews are asking themselves today is, did President Macron really use a Yiddish term in that debate that he had with Marine Le Pen, the last debate?
Yes, when he said, oi, oi. Yeah.
Oi, oi, oi. I mean, this is something that in many languages would simply be part of the part of the furniture, part of the language. But in French, it's not very commonly used at all. And a lot of people are saying oi, oi, oi is a very Jewish influence for President Macron. I know that we would have wanted to hear him say oi vey, but he didn't quite say oi vey.
Yeah.
This seemed to be a very, very localized term. But there is a lot being written and said about President Macron's use of oi, 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 and whether this was a Yiddish, Ashkenazi-influenced term. Some of the Jews in France have taken some exception because, of course, most of the Jews in France come more from the Sephardi influence rather than from Ashkenazi influence. So some of them have been very worried about why it's Ashkenazi terms that he's using if he's already going to be taking on some Jewish terminology. But anyway, I think overall that his election is probably good for Israel's relations with France. It's going to be very fascinating to see how the Jews in France, those who are still left there, respond to this particular election. And I think a lot of them are breathing a sigh of relief that Marine Le Pen was not elected. It came a lot closer than many of us thought it
would have wanted. Absolutely right. Anthony Wright, thank you as always. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. Good morning.